I want to keep with the same mindset and thought that we had this morning. Quote that was said this past week, you can teach what you know, but you can only produce what you are. In this scripture in John chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 17. We find Peter and John who have been preaching, if you want to think about it, in the words of Jesus, in Jerusalem and Judea. And they get word that there are some Samaritans that are beginning to believe in Jesus, but they had only been baptized. They had only prayed in the name of Jesus and accepted Him as the Messiah, but yet they had not been baptized properly. They had not received the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, starting in verse 17, then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon, not Simon Peter, just Simon, one of the guys in the area, saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. A story that continues to go on to help us understand and connect with this DNA distinctive that we have, whether we side in the human realm or whether we side in the faith realm. How many of you know walking and talking are two different creatures? Walking and talking are two different creatures altogether. There's internally a difference. And in this scripture, we know, we see, and if you continue reading, Peter immediately rebukes him, and he turns around and says, please pray that none of this stuff that you just said would happen to me. Simon approaches this in a humanistic viewpoint, and he's humanistic in his thinking. He's approaching it from the way that a man would come, and he would deal with things. And so often, that is what we deal with in this life, is we deal with people who naturally respond according to what the flesh says. And even when it comes to things of God, we deal with people who interact with the Spirit that we have in a very natural, in a very humanistic way, in a humanistic form. And so walking and talking are two different things. There's an internal difference. We see Simon said, hey, can I have this thing? Can I pay you for it? And Peter was appalled. Simon was emotionally charged to say, man, this is awesome. Can I have this? And Peter was spiritually charged and said, you can't buy this. What are you talking about? We deal with people in this life who want to have what you have, what we have spiritually. They want to have something that is real and something that is tangible. There are so many people that are going to church and may even be in church tonight. They went to church this morning and they went in and they heard a cute little scripture and they read a few verses and they left thinking, man, I didn't get anything out of that. And they hear about, they hear stories of people being raised from the dead. They hear stories of thousands, hundreds of people being saved. And they think, man, if that would only happen here, what can we do? And so what do we do even as a church? Oh, well, the church down the street, man, they have all kind of nice lights for the stage. And they dim all of the lights. And they have all sorts of things happening and colors and tapestry and there's nothing wrong with that stuff. But we try and mimic what other people are doing because it's working for them. Isn't that right? A couple of y'all have been around at different churches. Some of us have preached at different churches. All sorts of different things. And some things work at some places and some things just they just don't. But that's what we do even in the church. As we try and look and we say, well, what can we do? How can we approach this? What are some things? But we need to respond spiritually. We need to be connected. How many times have we come to church and said, man, that was poor. That was terrible. Somebody sitting right next to us thought, man, that was incredible. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. The DNA that we interact with should be distinct from the other things that we see in this world. We need to produce what we are. If you want to have a revival, get revived. If you want to see faith involved in a service, then pray for somebody. If you want to see disciples and people brought into the church, then bring somebody. And even beyond that, don't look funny at somebody when they bring somebody in. Because we do that. Don't shout me down. We need to look at things from spiritual viewpoint and see how God wants us to do and how He wants us to interact. Simon was there and he was saying, hey, I want this thing, man. This is incredible. This is awesome. Would you let me give you some money for this thing? And Peter was completely appalled. The Bible says, if you want to turn a couple of books back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 11 and verse 14. This continues the thought of what we talked about this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11, 14. The Bible says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? That makes sense. You know the thoughts that are inside of you, and the person sitting next to you may not know all the thoughts that are inside of you. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. And think about Simon in this statement right here. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness. He can't understand them because they're spiritually appraised. Hey, you know what? I want this ability, and so help me to attain this thing. Show me how to do it. Is it some way that you hold your hands? Is it where you place your hands on the person's head? What is it? Help me to figure this formula out so I can have it. There are people that look at you and they think that you're foolish because of the things that you do as a result of being a Christian. They don't understand it. And so they watch you. They see how you believe, but it's foolishness. What sense does it make for me to talk to the air? Why would I go time and time and time again to that church? Why read a 2,000-year-old book as if it's something that's relevant for today? It's foolishness. The natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness. He can't understand them because they're spiritually appraised. Simon couldn't completely understand this. That's why I started with the fact that walking and talking, they're two different creatures altogether. I made a comment on Wednesday night when we was going through the faith chapter about faith versus presumption. Walking in faith, walking in presumption. Simon presumed that there was something that he was missing to give him this ability. Peter and John didn't presume anything. They believed. They had faith. You have come and you have told me through the time that we have been here and the times that we have agreed in prayer that I go to God and I just believe Him. I'm not doing it because my mom did it. I'm not doing it because some preacher told me to do it. I'm doing it because I believe what God's Word says because He is faithful. There are some that presume and some that walk in faith. And there is a difference. Having walked the trail is very different from simply having a map of the land. Having walked the trail is very different from simply having a map of the land. I remember when I bought the 5 acres of land that I still say today is the best place that I've ever lived as far as property goes. It was 5 acres with a little pond right in the middle of cow pasture. Nobody was around me. My kind of place. I looked on this big old map, and on this big old map that they showed me, I don't know if it was an 11 by 17 or if it was a full scale thing, and they said, okay, this is all the land that we have. You can go in there. You can pick out any piece of property that you want. And so I looked at it. I seen the little road that was kind of going to where it was. They didn't even have a road exactly to where my property ended up being. But I saw it on the map. I looked at it. I said, you know what? I need to walk out there. So I went hiking through the woods and went around trees and bushes and thorns and thistles and all of that kind of stuff. And I came across this little piece of property right in the middle, and it had a little pond. The pond was probably as big as, probably not even as big as this whole church, maybe up to this right here, this little area. It was a little bitty pond, a little bitty nothing. But it was a pond. I told him, I said, I want this piece of property. And within a couple of months, I knew that piece of property inside and out. I'd walked every square inch of it. I walked over the little ponds that they had created with 1.5-foot levees so that they can feed the cows somewhere way, way back. I knew where all the little ruts were. I knew where the snakes would end up being. They were all in my pond by the time it was all said and done. I knew where the holes in the yard was. I knew every square inch of that property, and I loved it there. Walking the trail is different from simply having a map of the land. Simon needed to walk the trail. He needed to put his feet to the ground and begin to do stuff just as Peter and John had done, just as you and I have done through the years. And they don't understand it. Those who look from the outside, they look at us and they think it highly strange. Jessica was telling us a story just Wednesday night about a cousin of hers who wasn't saved. And I'm sure before she was saved just a few years ago, she looked at Jessica and thought, you are out of your mind. Then she got saved. Now Jessica looks at her and says, you are crazy. Because her cousin had walked in places and had seen things, but now she had some freedom inside of her, some faith that had been all of a sudden released that she had never had before, and now there's a boldness. She's walked the trail. Some in the church have only been in the church. They've never been outside of the local church that they've been in. And it doesn't matter if you're in Winfield or if you're in New Orleans. There are people in the same position there. They come into the same church every week. They see the same people every week. They hear these stories of people being saved, of people being healed, of people being delivered from demons, of all of this stuff. And they think, man, that would be awesome. That would be great. And they never get out and walk the trail. That's why it's so important. I think it's so crucial for us to go on a missions trip. For we as Christians to go, and even if it's just outside of Winfield, even if we don't leave the United States, just go on a missions trip. Go somewhere where nobody knows you, where there's no sense of pride, there's no sense of people knowing what you do and who you are and where you've been and all that stuff, and just go somewhere and pray for them, and go somewhere and help them, and go somewhere and love on them, and just see what God can do. Something different about walking the trail rather than just having a map. There was a time when I had a friend, and I'd been to this friend's house on a number of occasions, and when we walked in his house the first time, some of you may be able to relate to this, we walked in and he said, hey, I had to put some plywood down on my floor because it's an old house, and if I didn't put the plywood down, I'd fall through. Anybody ever been there? I walked through his house, all the other places that were not plywooded on top of the ground were nice and stable and everything. Well, it came a day when he said, okay, I really need to change the floor. I have the money to do it now, so would you come and help me change my floor? So we walked into his house. I'd walked through this house on a number of occasions, walked all through there, got the pry bar, We started hitting that floor, pulling up that old plywood. The floor was still there. In my mind, I'm thinking, if this floor is really rotten, when I start pulling these new nails and screws out, there's going to be some kind of hole. There's going to be something that falls through. I'm going to be able to tell that this floor is messed up, but it didn't. And so being the bright, intelligent guy that I am, I'm just plopping through his house, not thinking anything of it. His house was about this far off the ground. You know where the story's going, right? Next step I take, I'm like, shoom. Oh, Brother John, you okay? Running to see my hand, you know, I'm all through the wood and everything. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just stupid. Once you go through something and you experience what it is, then it gives you this distinctive, this Holy Spirit motivation to be able to move and to go. We don't do things just because we've read it. We don't do things just simply on the fact that somebody else tells us to do it. How many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand and admit to this, but how many of us have gotten in trouble because we listened to somebody else? The Bible tells us a story in Acts chapter 19. The seven sons of a high priest. I don't know if I ever caught that before. Seven sons of a high priest named Sceva. These sons who had grown up right there in the tabernacle, seeing their father, how he interacted and how he separated himself and how he kept himself ceremonially pure and all of this stuff, saw the inner workings of the church. And the Bible says that this Jesus was going around, and Paul was going around, and Peter and John was going around, and they would look at people that was possessed by demons, and they would say, in the name of Jesus, come out, or something that was close to that. And so these seven sons of Sceva, who had grown up in church, grown up around the tabernacle, heard the stories. They said, hey, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that demon said, I know Paul. I know Jesus. But who are you? I heard a sermon one time that was preached, and you have to be very careful in how you say this, because you just mess up one word and you done messed up the whole statement. But who in hell are you? Who does hell say that you are? Are you somebody? Are you a threat? Are you a joke? Are you somebody that they just kind of have on a list that really doesn't? To know what to do and have the authority to do it is totally different. I said that this morning. The sons right here said, I know what to do. I've seen it done before. I know the prescribed steps. I know the words that I need to say. I've heard it situated just like this before. And so I'm going to just repeat what I said, but the authority was not there in their lives. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. The DNA distinctive was very aware, even to those demons who they were trying to interact with. We have to be very careful and aware and understand that His Spirit has to be with us everywhere that we go. One of the things that we talked about on Wednesday when I talked about this presumption versus walking in faith was Pharaoh and the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea. Well, the Israelites did it, so we're going to come right behind them. It didn't work out that well for the second group. Daniel in the lion's den. Here's another thing that happens from time to time. The people who were standing against Daniel thought, you know what? I'm going to manipulate the law. Do we see that in the world today? I'm going to manipulate the law in such a way that I can stop people from being able to pray. I'm going to stop people from being able to speak against this sin and that sin. The ones who stood against Daniel said, we want him to stop. And so they went to the king and said, oh, king, live forever. We love you so much. You're awesome. You're doing a great job. We think that everybody, if they have some kind of prayer or praise or anything, they should direct it straight to you. They shouldn't pray to anybody else. Okay. What's on the inside compared to what's on the outside? What is the walk compared to what is the talk? We know the story already. They thought they could manipulate the law to accomplish their own goals, but God is bigger. Amen? Look at somebody and say, my God is bigger. My God is bigger. He's bigger than the law. He's bigger than the authorities. He's bigger than the things that we see in this life. He's bigger than all of the stuff that we know and all the stuff that we have interacted with. He's an on-time God. And we know the story. Daniel, he laid very comfortably with his own lion coat pillow. He may have had even a lion lay right up next to him so he could have some warmth while he laid down in that den full of lions. There are dens full of lions that sometimes we have to go through, and they have a big roar. They have big mouths. They have ferocious teeth. And they have a history of tearing people apart. But when God is on your side, your God is bigger, and God shut the mouths of those lions. I wonder if that was not the best night's sleep that Daniel ever had. The next morning, the king comes out and says, Daniel, are you alive? Are you still there? Did your God save you? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I slept wonderfully. It was. Bring all of those who tried to manipulate the law and throw them in. The Bible says before they even hit the bottom, those lions were all of a sudden hungry again. Doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what you deal with. It's what's on the inside. It's what faith is interacting with what you exhibit on the outside. Daniel didn't care about that. Why? Because he knew that his God was bigger. He is an on-time God. He comes through just in the nick of time. And so often we pray, God, please don't let me be put in this lion's den. Please, God, don't let me be thrown in this fiery furnace. Right? Please, take this thorn in my flesh away from me. I'm going to plead with you time and time again. And God says, hey, wait a minute now. My grace is sufficient because in your weakness, I am made strong. When I show myself through your frail little body, then I can show how awesome I am. Daniel's situation worked out well. You remember Haman's plot against the Jewish people? Similar details, similar results. Haman even had so much pride that he wanted to make a public display. And God didn't let it happen. And not only did God not allow it to happen, but the very gallows that he was going to hang on, he was tied up to. Our God is bigger. Come on, somebody with me? Our God is bigger. Our God is bigger. He's stronger. He's mightier. There's nothing that can stand against him. There's nothing that can come against what he wants in our lives. There's no report that a doctor can give us. There's no vehicle that can run into us. There's no demon that can stand and try and destroy us. There's nothing that can come against our lives, except that God allowed them to do that. Why? Because our God is bigger. He's stronger. He's mightier. He's omnipotent. He's sovereign. He's on time. And he is going to deliver us just in the nick of time. And we can't be, and this is the last one that I have for you tonight, walking and talking, walking the trail versus simply having a map. Ananias and Sapphira from Acts chapter 5, the Bible says that they saw all of the other people that were around and they were doing these great things for the church and trying to help all of the people. They were full, and I just wrote a few different adjectives down that could have been, they were full of greed, they were full of pride, they were deceptive in the way that they presented things. They thought they were going to get a good name for themselves as they walked into the church, and so they sold a piece of property and they kept part of the money back. There was something on the inside that was still humanistic in their believing. And the reality is, as I've said before in church, they didn't have to give all of that money. They could have came in and said, hey, you know what? I sold the property for this, and this is what I want to give to the church. I'm keeping some of it. It would have been perfectly okay. That's not what they did. They tried to stay within a humanistic standpoint and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to help the church, but I'm going to help myself without anybody knowing it, and I'm going to try and make my name even up with everyone else that's doing all of this stuff. They were filled with something that the enemy had put inside of them, but Peter was full of the Spirit. I thought about this as I was reading today and thinking about this coming in. You know, Peter could have been nudged by the Spirit in this setting and said, hey, you know what? They're lying to you. But you know what? It could be very well just as relevant. He could have heard about the sale. Somebody could have said, hey, you know what, Ananias, you sold a piece of property. Oh, that's good. And then when Ananias comes in and says, hey, I sold it for this price. Well, that's not what I heard. We don't know how it all played out. We don't know the details of what it is. We know that Peter, being full of the Spirit, was able to speak in such a way and was able to test the Spirit that was inside of him, and they drug him out and they buried him. Then they drug the wife out and buried her. Why? Because the Spirit that was inside of them was not the same. They were trying to talk a talk, but the faith that they had was not in the God that they were trying to serve. It was in something else. And so we have to have this DNA distinctive that distinguishes us, so that rather than teaching what we know, we produce who we are. And we need to produce some people, some Christians, some disciples that run after God with everything that they have, that are concerned about what this word says and what it means to be in church. They need to have respect. That's one of the things that is so missing in our society today, is respect. We don't have respect. It's getting less and less and less. So tonight as we pray, I want our prayer to be twofold again, as we kind of did this morning. I want you to ask God if there's some area in your life where you're siding sometimes with the humanistic side of things, that He would fill you with His Spirit. And I also want you to ask God on the spiritual side, when you stand up and you when you show others who you are and the faith that you have, if God would give you the right words, the right attitude, so that you can really show who He is inside of you. Because God wants His DNA to come forth from us. He wants us to show and reflect who He is. And it's only going to be a matter of us drawing near to Him.